Are the Boston Celtics the best team in the Eastern Conference? And why I find it truly disappointing that no team wants to take on Chris Paul. All that and more on The Talk. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of The Talk. And as always, I am your host, Cody Davis. First and foremost, guys, I just want to say once again, thank you for the love. Thank you for the support that you have been showing, not only to me, but to The Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, because of you guys, The Talk can now be found on 6 different platforms: Pocket Cast, Spotify, Radio Republic, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and of course, YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Once again, that is YouCanArgueThatSports.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I say it all the time. You Can Argue That Sports is a website created by myself and my business partner, Johnson Sports Guy Hickman, as we try to give people a platform where they can share their ideas, their thoughts, their opinions about what's going on in sports. And not only that, if you are just a fan of sports and you want to stay up to date on all things basketball, football, baseball, we're trying to get a little hockey in there for the hockey lovers. But ladies and gentlemen, go to YouCanArgueThatSports.com and subscribe. And speaking of sports, as you know, this is a basketball podcast. And of course, I will be breaking down a lot of things that's going on with basketball. But of course, as always, I'm going to talk about the NBA. And speaking of the NBA, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share why I believe this team is the best team in the Eastern Conference headed into the 2019-2020 season. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about no other team than the Boston Celtics. Now, I know right off the bat, I am in the minority of this thought process because, ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that the Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference. First and foremost, I know that sounds crazy because you're talking about a team who had Kyrie Irving. You're talking about a team who had their eyes set on trading for Anthony Davis. You're talking about a team who 2 years ago came a game away from making the NBA Finals before they lost in 7 games to the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. You're talking about a team who, yes, I already know last year you can honestly say they took a step back, and they did. But how can I say a team that has lost so much, a team who has lost Kyrie Irving, one of the best playmakers, one of the best point guards, one of the best players in the game, a team who missed out on one of the most talented players to trade for in Anthony Davis, a team who went from arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference all the way down to a team who only got out of the first round because they played against a team that didn't have enough talent, who played against a team who their best player, Victor Oladipo, was out due to injuries. How can I say the Boston Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you like how I see it. When you look at the pieces that they lost, Danny Ainge did a pretty good, solid, quiet job of replacing that talent. First and foremost, I'm going to start with the guy that they just signed, Kemba Walker. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you listened to the very first episode, but the very first time I did an episode of The Talk, it was around the time when I first heard there was rumors that Walker and Boston had mutual interest in one another. And I did a show dedicated to the fact why I believe that Walker and the Celtics were a perfect match. But ladies and gentlemen, when you're talking about talent alone, let's just talk about Kemba Walker's talent as a player. You lost Kyrie Irving, who I just mentioned in my opening statement is one of the best point guards in the league, who is one of the top players in the game today. But when you look at Kemba Walker, you're talking about a team who replaced their best player for a guy that there's a strong possibility he might be a little bit better than. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not taking nothing away from Kyrie Irving, nor do I want you guys to think that I'm living in the moment. And please don't take into consideration thinking I'm a Boston Celtics fan, because I'm not. I do not believe there's never been a moment in my life where I find myself rooting for the Celtics. First and foremost, I grew up a Kobe Bryant fan. That means I grew up a Laker fan, which means I cannot root for the Celtics. But that's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's hard for you guys to really think that Kemba Walker is better than Kyrie Irving. But when you think about it, they're damn near the same player. 6'2", 6'3", guard. They can score inside and outside. They got phenomenal crossovers. But there's two things that separate Kyrie Irving from Kemba Walker. One, he played with LeBron James, which means he played on one of the biggest platforms, one of the biggest stages in the league. Playing alongside LeBron James do come with his perks. And I only say that because you have a player in Irving who played on one of the biggest platforms in NBA history to a guy in Kemba Walker who not too many people know what he's about. You got some people that don't even know how good Kemba Walker is due to the fact that he played with the Charlotte Hornets over the last few years. That's why not too many people know how good Kemba Walker really is. Just last year, the man averaged 23 points, 7 assists, 1.5 steals, and 5 rebounds. Those were the numbers for Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm going to give you the numbers for Kemba Walker. 25 points, 6 steals, once again, 1.5 steals. It made his first all-team NBA honors as a member of the Charlotte Hornets. Once again, replacing Kyrie Irving for Kemba Walker is damn near the same player. Not only do I feel like Kemba Walker is the better player than Irving, and I'm not saying it's a big, long gap. I'm just saying maybe by a hair or two. But ladies and gentlemen, the fit between Kyrie and Kemba is going to be a hell of a lot different. A lot of people don't know this. For Irving's career, he has averaged 22 points and 6 assists and 4 rebounds throughout his career. Kemba Walker, he has averaged 20 points and 6 assists and 4 rebounds over the course of his career. Those numbers sound a hell of a lot similar, don't it? When you think about everything that the Boston Celtics had to endure last season, from the countless of drama, the lack of leadership, the fact that they was trying to integrate a guy who only played 5 minutes of the 2017-18 season before he went down with that ankle injury, the Celtics were still a pretty solid team. You're talking about a team who finished 49-33 last year. And even though I say, yes, they made it to the second round only due to the fact they played against a team who was not as talented as them, they still made it to the second round and lost to the Milwaukee Bucks in 5. Now, I must admit, they did get hella embarrassed when they played against the Bucks. But most of that came from the disinterest. Most of that came from the fact that Kyrie Irving played looked like his worst basketball of his career in that series. You had a guy like Kemba Walker who's, one, already proven he's going to be a better leader. And secondly, his fit within the Celtics system is going to be a hell of a lot better. What Walker was able to accomplish in Charlotte, which hasn't been enough. You're talking about a guy who only made the playoffs 2 times throughout his 8-year career. But ladies and gentlemen, I am excited to see how much better Kemba Walker is going to become playing with some of the most talented players in this league. You're talking about a team who still has Jason Tatum, who averaged 16 points. Jaylen Brown, who averaged 13 points. You still got your defensive anchor in Marcus Smart. And not only that, I do believe that Gordon Hayward will get back to that all-star production player that he was prior to that gruesome ankle injury. Every time a player takes a bad injury, especially a gruesome bad injury like the one Hayward had 2 years ago, it normally takes 2 years for that player to fully come back as the same player as they was before. You're talking about a guy who the year prior to that averaged 21 points with the Utah Jazz, led them to the playoffs, upset the Los Angeles Clippers. And he averaged 24 points in that series. Ladies and gentlemen, Gordon Hayward is no scrub. And you telling me, you expect me to believe, if you do not, if you take out the bad influence in Kyrie Irving, and you put in a guy like Kemba Walker, playing with some of the most talented players he has ever played with, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, you telling me this team is not going to be a team to beat in an Eastern Conference? Because when you look around, in the East, can you name a more talented team than the Boston Celtics right now? First and foremost, I'm going to start with the number one seed from last year, the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, I know they have the MVP. Yes, I know they arguably have the best player in the game today in Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I'm not 100% sold on the Milwaukee Bucks. Because in the playoffs against the Toronto Raptors, they did not look like a team that was ready to take that next step. And after they lost Malcolm Brogdon to the Indiana Pacers, I kind of believe that their team took a step back. I do not believe, and I'm not about to sit here and say that the Milwaukee Bucks are about to be sorry, but I do not believe that they're going to be better than the Celtics. Because one, they're not as talented as the Celtics are right now. And two, I'm just not 100% sold on that team. You take a look at the next team that most people believe will win the East, in the Philadelphia 76ers. But ladies and gentlemen, I know you guys might find this hard to believe, but I have more faith in the Milwaukee Bucks than I do the 76ers. And it all starts with that damn Ben Simmons. You're talking about a guy who you just gave a max contract to, a guy who can't even shoot more than 5 feet out. Joel Embiid is one of the most talented players in this game. But night after night, you don't know if he's going to be healthy. Night after night, you don't know what Joel Embiid is going to bring to the table. Al Horford, a guy who literally just left the Celtics to join the Philadelphia 76ers. At some point, Father Time will start catching up. And a guy who's, I believe he's making 34 years old this upcoming season, he's not going to look like the same Al Horford that we saw in Boston and in Atlanta over the last 10 years. The only guy that I feel can help take the 76ers to the next step is Tobias Harris. And I only say that because a lot of people don't understand how talented this man is. He is by far one of the most underrated players in this league. But because their offense, because their team relies so heavily on Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I'm just not sold on that. I do not believe, don't get me wrong, they are a talented squad, but I do not believe Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid is a duo that can get the job done. And after Kawhi Leonard leaving Toronto, that lets you know Toronto might not be nothing next year. I'd be surprised they make the playoffs. The only thing that worries me about making this bold statement about the Celtics so early on in the year is the fact that they had to bring in Enes Kanter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to say nothing bad about Kanter, because to me, he goes in that category where I want to say he's one of the most underrated players in the league. And ladies and gentlemen, you guys might not know, but this is a guy who is one of the best offensive centers in the league. Now, I know he can't stretch the floor, but you put him on that block, he is a old school big man who can post you up. He can shoot at least 15 feet in. But the only thing, and you might not believe this, but you're talking about a guy who averaged 13 points last year for the Portland Trail Blazers. Before he got traded, he was averaging 14 points for the New York Knicks. We all remember how good he was with the Thunder, averaging 18 points, 15 points. The only thing that worries me about Kanter is his defense. And you're talking about a guy who's going to have to go up against Giannis, who's going to have to go up against Embiid. Yes, I know I just finished talking about those guys, but ladies and gentlemen, Kanter's defense is horrific. But if he can find a way to improve on that defensive end, there's not going to be a team in the Eastern Conference who can stop them. There's not. So once again, shout out to the Boston Celtics. I truly believe they are the new team to be in the Eastern Conference. And if everything clicks well for this team, they might be able to challenge a couple, not a lot, but a couple teams in the Western Conference if they make it to the NBA Finals. I would not be surprised if the Celtics go on and win the Finals, depending on who come out the West next season. Speaking of the West, there's a guy who just got traded. And I find it really, really hard that nobody wants to give him a chance. Of course, I'm talking about no other than Chris Paul. I'm going to touch on the Chris Paul situation a little bit on the other side of the break. Once again, this is The Talk, and I am your host, Cody Davis.
If you have been injured in an auto accident, who defends you? Call 713-222-1222.
Don't let insurance companies pay you a misery for your injuries. Claim your rights.
Call 713-222-1222. 713-222-1222.
The attorneys on claims have years of experience helping injured victims like you. Call now to claim everything you deserve.
Call 713-222-1222. Doesn't matter if you don't have health insurance, call now. Call 713-222-1222. 713-222-1222. Consultation is free, and if we don't win your case, you don't pay a dime.
Dedicated lawyers that get you results. Call 713-222-1222. 713-222-1222. McCurdy Law Firm, Houston, Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, thank you so much for listening to today's show. I don't know if you guys know, but 2K20 released their top 10 players in the game, and I have a small problem with this list. 2K20, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting old. My very first 2K that I played was 2K5 with Ben Wallace on the front cover the year after the Pistons beat the Los Angeles Lakers for the NBA championship. That was 2K5. And now here I am looking at the 2K ratings for 2K20. You know, I'm not going to take long on these ratings. I just want to give my thoughts and opinions about it. LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard are the best players in the game so far with a 97 rating. I do not agree with that. I truly believe that LeBron James' reign as the best player in NBA 2K should have came to an end this year. And I only say that because, yes, I know, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about LeBron. We're talking about King James. We're talking about LeBron James. We're talking about one of the best players to ever step on the NBA floor. We're talking about a guy who's easily the top three player in the game. You're talking about a guy who can be debated as the top two. You're talking about a guy, even though I do not agree, to be the best player of all times. But ladies and gentlemen, a 97? I kind of feel like LeBron James should have came in at a 94 or a 95. And I only say that because if Father Time isn't at LeBron James' door, it's at least part. And starting to walk up the step, because I don't know about you. Last year was my first time I say, man, LeBron isn't running that fast anymore. LeBron isn't jumping that high on those dunks anymore. And you're talking about his defense alone. I don't know what to say. Once again, LeBron James is still a phenomenal, great player. But a 97-2K, come on. And Kawhi Leonard. I feel like Kawhi Leonard should have came in at least as a 95. Yes, I know he went on this historic playoff run. Yes, I know he led Toronto to their first NBA championship. And as it looks like right now, he holds the most power in the NBA. But a 97 might be a little bit too high for me. Right off the bat, Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, despite his injuries, were the next set of players, all three coming in at a 96. I believe those three should have been tied as the highest players in the game. Steph Curry is coming in at a 95. I agree with that. Anthony Davis, I kind of feel like him playing with the Lakers has already given him great benefits. I kind of feel like Anthony Davis should have been a 92. And he is the cover athlete this year. 2K, if you're listening, please update the front cover, because that picture that you're showcasing with Anthony Davis is a photo with him in the New Orleans Pelicans jersey. And I'm pretty sure people in New Orleans, even myself, do not want anything to remind us of what Anthony Davis did in New Orleans, especially how the way that he left. Paul George coming in at a 93. Joel Embiid coming at a 91. And number 9 is my boy Damian Lillard coming in at a 92. Ladies and gentlemen, because of that epic playoff run, and because of the shot he did against the Oklahoma City Thunder, that shot alone should have gave Dame Dollar at least a 95 rating. Why? Because that shot not only ended the playoff run of the Thunder, but it dismantled a whole franchise. It ended a whole era. Dame Dollar, man, my boy should have been at a 95, man. But a guy whose days of being ranked in the top 10 has been over for a pretty long time now. We're talking about Chris Paul, who surprisingly is in the top 30. He is ranked as the 29th best player, and he has a rating for 87. Ladies and gentlemen, I kind of feel like that's a tad bit too high for Chris Paul, because we are talking about a guy who only played 58 games the last two seasons. But I'm not talking about Chris Paul's 2K rating, nor am I talking about 2K itself. I just want to focus on the situation that's going on with Chris Paul and Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, as we all know, Chris Paul was traded from the Houston Rockets to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Russell Westbrook. Immediately after the trade went down, there was reports going around that Paul and his agents have already started working with Sam Presti, and that they are working towards a trade, because at 34 years old, I know the Thunder and Chris Paul himself do not want to be linked together during the 2019-2020 NBA season. There was talks about him going to Miami. There were some talks about him going to Detroit. There were also some talks, even though I don't believe those were true or not, of him going to the Los Angeles Lakers. But unfortunately, Wednesday afternoon, it seems like the trade talks between Chris Paul have abruptly come to an end. The one team that has shown some interest in getting CP3, who are, of course, the Miami Heat, there's reports going around that they are trying to get at least 2 draft picks for Chris Paul. And not only that, they do not want to be linked up in that terrible contract. So as of right now, with every single passing day, it's looking more and more likely that Chris Paul will be a member of the Thunder, at least at the start of the 2019 season. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know how you guys feel about Chris Paul at this very moment, but in my opinion, I still feel like Chris Paul has a little bit left in the tank. And I do believe he can help a championship contending team get to that next step. Yes, I know any team that's taking on Chris Paul, it's going to come with some pretty big baggages. But once again, if you put Chris Paul into the right situation, I do believe he still has stuff left in the tank. I still believe that Chris Paul has enough to help a team win a championship. Now, I'm gonna start with the bad. We all know he's 34 years old. He's owed $125 million on his contract. And not only that, you're talking about a guy who, yes, he is past his prime, but not only that, he is a guy who is injury prone. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to talk about all the bad that comes with getting Chris Paul. I'm talking about the good. The best thing for Chris Paul at this very moment is to go to a team where he can be the primary ball handler and playmaker for that team. Not only that, put Chris Paul in a situation where he's not the first, not the second, but third scoring option on a team. Also, he is still a pretty solid defender on the perimeter. I know what his numbers look like last year. You look at his numbers, he averaged his career worst 15 points per game. Shot 40% from the field, 34% from beyond the arc. But that was while playing on the court alongside a ball-dominant guard in James Harden. Even though it's a small sample size, when you take a look at what Chris Paul was able to do while James Harden was off the court, he is still a top point guard in this league. And when I say top point guard, I'm not talking about top 10, and I'm damn sure not talking about top 5. But when you look at his numbers with James Harden off the floor, you're talking about a guy who averaged 20 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds, and with a true shooting percentage of 58% from the field. I find it hard to believe that you're going to give me at least 15 other point guards who are better than that. And if you can give me 15, I damn sure know you can't give me 20. Matter of fact, that's a challenge. Give me 20 point guards right now who are better than Chris Paul, even at this stage of his career. But that was a game I know Chris Paul still has something left in the tank. It was a mid-season victory against the Golden State Warriors when he led the Houston Rockets to a 118-112 victory. James Harden wasn't playing due to an injury. And this is what CP3 recorded that night. 23 points, 17 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals in 36 minutes. You telling me with the information that I just gave you, you cannot look past the baggages of his contract, of his injury? You cannot tell me that this guy, when healthy, cannot help a team win a championship? Once again, if a team can put Chris Paul in the situation that I just named earlier, where his number one priority is to distribute the ball and be a playmaker, where he can be the third scoring option on the team. And once again, he is still a good defensive player on the defensive end. There's a few teams right off the top of my head I truly believe Chris Paul can still help. You cannot sit here and tell me if you add CP3 to the Milwaukee Bucks that that's not going to be enough to get them over the hump in the Eastern Conference. First and foremost, you already lost Malcolm Brogdon. Secondly, it seems like you're trying to make Giannis Antetokounmpo your primary ball handler because you can't trust Eric Bledsoe. You telling me that the Bucks cannot take a chance on Chris Paul? Even on the defensive end, you have George Hill. Can you imagine the perimeter defense with George Hill and Chris Paul? That's automatically one of the best defensive backcourts in the league. And take a look at everything that I provided for you guys. You put Chris Paul in a situation where he can be the primary ball handler. That's what the Bucks need. You put him in a situation where he could be the third scoring option. In some instances, he could be the fourth scoring option, depending on what you get out of Bledsoe. It's hard for me to believe that no team wants to take a chance on Chris Paul. And I even wrote about this on the Dream Shake. I do believe the Milwaukee Bucks are the best fit for this guy at this stage in his career. Another team that I'm looking at is the Philadelphia 76ers. But the only reason why I would not want to see CP3 go to that team, because he's basically going to be not only a ball handler, but they're going to ask him to score a little bit more because you got an old dumbass Ben Simmons who can't shoot for nothing. In order to get the most out of Chris Paul, you have to put him in a perfect situation. And those two are the best fit for Chris Paul right now, especially for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, people are trying to force that into existence. They're trying to speak that into existence. Now, don't get me wrong. T1, LeBron, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, along with Chris Paul, that has the possibility and the potential to spell championship. But they also have a point guard by the name of Rajon Rondo that cannot stand Chris Paul and Paul cannot stand Rondo. I'm pretty sure there might be a situation where the Lakers will try to get in on trade talks for CP3. But I highly doubt that the Thunder want to take on the attitude and the drama and the nonsense that comes with getting a guy like Rajon Rondo. Chris Paul, if you're out there listening and you run across this podcast by some odd reason, I don't even know what it would take. I just want to say these few kind words to you. One, keep your head up, bro. Ball out in Oklahoma City. Use this as an audition to let people know you may not be CP3. You may not be the guy who became a nine-time NBA All-Star, but you are still a damn good player. Once again, the man averaged 20 points and 12 assists when he wasn't playing alongside James Harden in Houston. I don't know about you, but if I could squeeze just a little bit out of that from Chris Paul, I'm taking that risk. I'm taking that risk. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Talk. Once again, I am your host, Cody Davis. And ladies and gentlemen, please continue to support me. Please continue to support the show. Even if you don't like me, you just like basketball talk. Just support the show because it's basketball talk. Once again, you can find The Talk on these platforms: Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Radio Republic, and of course, You Can Argue That sports.com. Once again, that's You Can Argue That sports.com. And please do not forget to follow me on Twitter at Cody, CotyDavis underscore 24. What the 24 stand for? It stands for Kobe Bryant. Why? Because he's the GOAT. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.